City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, September 18th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it's a Mandan edition of City Current. So Jim Neubauer is here.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good. It's September 18th. I can't believe it's
September 18th.
Fall.
Sun is shining, and it's a little breezy outside, and the rain has stopped for a while.
That's right.
For a while.
Yeah. So far, so good, right? Yep. Mandan Commission meeting last night. That's what we're here to talk about again. And not a very long meeting, but there were a couple of big issues that were settled and moved forward.
So. Right. A lot of things. Like I said, the agenda didn't take long for the commission to run through, but there are some pretty important things that were run through last night.
First and foremost, a public hearing was held at, and was actually scheduled for 6 p.m.
Right.
And notified to the public then, was the budget. 2020 budget.
Yep, kind of the accumulation of when we internally start budget meetings in March and April of this past year. Mm-hmm. And last night, the budget hearing is always scheduled for 6 o'clock by state law. It's on a prescribed date and a prescribed time so that John Q. Public gets notified in August by Morton County that send out these. Actually, they work pretty well. I think it's a much improved notice. It says, here's all of your county, your city, your school district and park district. Here's when your budget hearing will be. Here's what time it is. And here's what their proposed budget has in store for you.
Oh, it's going to impact property owners.
Right. And last night, so we had that at 6 o'clock. We had no residents that showed up to comment on the budget. Our finance director, Greg Welsh, does a good job of explaining it. It's on our website. We made, I think, two changes in that budget from the preliminary one, and we move forward.
Yeah. We've talked about it at our previous City Current program. So, that move forward. We're done till next year.
I think,
we'll start the process
again. The finance department, and like you said, I know Mayor Helbing did a nice job of thanking all the department heads. And this is not a a two-week process. This is a months-long process that our finance department goes through intimately with the budget.
And every department goes through this.
Every department goes through and makes their proposals. And generally, as in most budgets, not everyone gets everything they want.
Sure.
The available dollars were spread around through police, fire, public works, and all of our departments, and trying to meet everyone's needs.
And the impact to a property owner, we talked earlier, was with the utility rate increase and property tax increase, $30 to $40.
Yep.
Depending
we're
upon the value
at,
of your home.
I think a $275,000 house. Okay. It'd be $1 a month, $12 a year on your property tax. We did up our mill levy by one mill, and in essence, that will pay for a new police officer/detective and a mechanic in our street department. So we're adding two positions. Your utility bill will go up by, I think, $21 a year, and that'll account for what we have to start building our new water treatment plant.
And we've talked about that numerous times.
So,
and
in fact,
a huge project.
I think this week the bids will go out. And we should receive those bids on August 22nd. So we'll have a better understanding of how much that will all cost in a month or two.
All right. So budget's done for now.
Budget's done. And like I said, everybody takes a little bit of a sigh of relief. And again, our kudos to our department heads for managing through and realizing, like I said, not everyone gets everything that they want. But we do our best to meet the needs.
Great. So also under public hearings was a topic that we've been hearing a lot about in the community, and that is the issue of murals.
Yes.
That moved through a public hearing last night. There were no comments from the public. No one was there to make a comment on it. And this is a first consideration, so it will come back again?
Right. First consideration, it will come back. The process that this ordinance has gone through, that has we made some changes. You know, our issue with the Lonesome Dove. Being it's in litigation, there's not a lot we can talk about, but we did propose changes to our ordinances that govern those things and went through planning and zoning, the last Monday in September for a public hearing. And last night was the first consideration at the city commission level.
Okay.
Like I said, we are still in litigation on that. You know, I could go through all the nuts and bolts of the amendments that were made, but most importantly, and people who are interested probably in, yes, the Lonesome Dove will be able to keep what they have
and not be required to take it down. To draw that out. Yep. What was approved last night will grandfather in the Lonesome Dove
situation. And we'll streamline our application process and things like that. And we think these amendments have been fully vetted by a team of attorneys and meet all the constitutional requirements that they need to. And we look forward to, like I said, we're on an injunction right now until our lawsuit with the Lonesome Dove folks is resolved. Okay. And
this could be the last time it comes to the commission level, though?
It will come before the commission for a second consideration.
Oh, that's
right. So we had a public hearing, first consideration last night, and it'll come back for a second consideration at a later date.
And we'll talk about it again at that time.
Yes.
Also under a public hearing, no comments were made, but it was what I thought was a very interesting proposal, and that's an amendment to your land use and transportation plan that involves a very large chunk of property, 1,000 acres, as I understand, that sit in a very obvious area along I-94 to the south of I-94 in the northwest area of Mandan.
You're familiar with Mandan. There's if you go west on Boundary Road, and you'll find there's considerable acreage, topography, and things like that just south of the interstate. The McCreary Group owns, I think, over 1,000 acres in that area. And our comprehensive land use and transportation plan was adopted within the last probably five, 6 years.
So it's pretty current.
Yep. And when this group comes in and proposes to adjust that a little bit, really your comp plan that's approved has some pretty general ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What they're proposing here in kind of a master plan, here's where the roadways would go based on topography. Here's what we're looking at for green space and commercial space, single family residential space, and some multifamily residential. And if you are watching, you can see a lot of the green areas are, you know, open space or green space, and that's mainly for topography reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see some space along the I-94 corridor for commercial areas that would serve, you know, like I said, there's 1,000 acres up here.
Yeah.
And
most of this area that is adjacent to the interstate also would be directly across from your existing industrial park up there.
Correct.
So it seems like a good fit.
Yep,
this is really an interesting, the green space. It's nice to see them incorporating this into the plan. The topography in that area is really attractive. They're beautiful, but at the same time, very challenging for the developer.
It's gorgeous out here. No one will argue with you on that. There's several coulees that are running through, and there's some trees out there for North Dakota, kind of an oddity, but we do have trees. And like I said, a lot of topographical challenges out here for infrastructure and for building and things like that. And that's, you know, one of the reasons that this has been an area that has not developed yet. And because of getting infrastructure out there, it's costly and it's challenging to get it all figured out. Our engineering staff and planning staff and public works have all met with the McCreary Group on several different occasions to come up with, this makes sense. And like I said, so last night, again, this is a adoption of those changes to the comp plan.
Mm-hmm. We have another map showing this area that has a little more detail on the road, the transportation components here. And if you look on the interstate, there is a proposed future underpass directly north that would go right up to would connect old Red Trail all the way down, moving south to Old 10, Highway 10.
A lot of old going in there. I don't know if you're talking about me or not, but there's been a lot of talk about a proposed underpass. There's not really room for an interchange at that location. And plus, interchanges on the interstate system need to be a mile apart. We've got Sunset Drive on to the east. And again, there's a natural coulee under this area. And that's in the future. There's nothing that says, in 2013 or 2021 or 2025, this is going to happen, because there's no funding in place to do that.
Right. And this is all dependent on the federal government. They run the interstate system.
Yep.
So these are just proposed transportation long-range plans that MPO and City of Mandan have agreed to.
Right.
Things can change from here, but I thought this was an interesting map to look at.
Yep, and one of the reasons that we, again, if you're able to watch this and you're not listening to the radio, the roadway they have connecting to that underpass on I-94 actually connects down to Highway 10,
right,
west of town. And again, there are some serious topography challenges in that area. If you're familiar, you know, it is, like I said, the one great thing, they're a beautiful piece of property to develop.
Mm-hmm.
The only downside is it's very expensive to develop and
make some great connections
in the
community for transportation. But knowing, again, the challenges with topography, the fact that the roads have not been identified or funded.
Correct.
We've got a potential for a part of the property held for potential for school property.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that hasn't been decided. That's all tentative. This is a long-range plan. You added the fact that it's 1,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
This will be phased in. There was another map that showed the three phases that it'll go through, but even the first phase may be long-term.
Right, and the property owners here are looking at saying, okay, they know that the Mandan Public School System district is looking at possibility of replacing the high school, which I think was built in 1954. A lot of things went on in 1954. I think the refinery and the high school and other things in town. A big building year. But they're looking at doing, okay, if we do a new high school, where would we find, you know, 30 to 40 acres in which to construct? And the property owners here are putting a proposal together. Nothing has been decided. There's been no decisions made other than, okay, if we're going to put a school there, here's how all the connections and here's what this acreage should look like based on all of the best laid plans today.
And this plan will likely change at some point in the future. What action was taken last night was the Mandan City Commission approved amending the land use and transportation plan to include this design right now.
Yep.
Things could change as this moves forward, and it'll probably come back to the commission at some point.
Yep, we would assume it'll come back at some point because, you know, the best laid plans that we look at today, 10 years from now, things may change dramatically. We just don't know. But this makes sense today, and we think it makes sense into the future. So this is our best guess. And the property owner is really the one driving. Here's what we think would work really well in
just
this
area. Just
putting
the pieces in place for the future.
Yep. And they've had input from our staff, and we think this makes sense too.
Yeah, it's a very visible piece of property, piece of property.
Opens up the City of Mandan moving to the west.
Yeah.
And like I said, challenges there. We're always looking to expand the community, but do it in a smart and responsible way.
Well thought out, yep.
Correct.
Another amendment that came forward last night, and this was under the consent agenda. It was not pulled for discussion, but we wanted to just pull it out and make a note of it. And that was an amendment to the 2019 Public Works Utility Budget.
Yep.
And this was in response to
the fire that consumed an apartment building. We identified, I think we have between 100 and 130 private fire hydrants that are within our community. How do we identify those as private? Right now, they're not. And so our snow committee that we had several years ago said, well, we should be marking hydrants. So in the wintertime, if there's a snowbank covering up, we've got a red flag on those hydrants now. And we're, I think, in the final phase of marking all those hydrants with private streets. And we don't have many private streets in town. There's normally a blue sign that says like 3rd Avenue Northwest or Annie's Acres or something like that.
Yeah.
That will be marked in blue as a private. Not all of them are now, but we are in the process of changing that. So we said a blue flag on a fire hydrant would indicate this is a private hydrant, needs to be maintained by the developer or the private property owner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we don't have very many of them in town. I think we probably have 800 plus hydrants, 100 of them.
I think we have a picture that maybe we could have Lloyd put up, if we would, of that flag that'll be used to mark these private fire hydrants. It's kind of interesting. Who knew there was 130 private fire hydrants? I guess I didn't realize there was any such thing as a private fire hydrant.
So, and right now, like I said, we will, I think the budget amendment was for roughly $4,200. We will acquire and purchase these flags, and our staff will have them will install them. And in turn, as follow-up every year, our fire department, when they come out and do your fire inspections, they will be also ensuring that those private hydrants have been tested and that the developer and the private property owner has, you know, certified that they're in working condition.
So the amendment to the 2019 budget was about $4,100, as I understand it. And,
yep.
And really, I think this is a great visual tool, especially for firefighters mm-hmm. to know, and they enter an area they're working with a private fire hydrant, which...
Yep. Or even your developers who, you may have an apartment complex or a mobile home court that has been changed hands over time. So everybody assumes, well, there's a fire hydrant, the city must maintain it. That's not always the case.
Okay.
So if you buy a piece of property and there's a blue flag on that hydrant, you know that is yours to maintain.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've got not that many of them in town, but we thought this was a good opportunity. We kind of kicked around making the developer, the property owner, put that flag on.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, most efficient and the safest way for us to do it is to, we'll bite the bullet, we'll get these installed. And in the future, if there are private hydrants in the future, they will be identified through the developer and the blue flag.
Well, again, so, I was surprised. I didn't realize that there were private fire hydrants. Yep. You make an assumption that they're all operated by the city.
And that's, like I said, we identified an issue that we were having, and here's our solution to it. And we think this is a good way to move forward.
So another item, moving on then to new business, also had to do with public works, and it also had to do with budget issues, and that was increasing the public works facility expansion budget. And that's in the future. That's coming up.
Yep. Interesting. You know, we've, what we call Big Blue, our 1950s era building that we've been running public works out of for many, many years. I think in the 70s, there was kind of a half fire station, half utility department building in, you know, erected on that site. It has since, over many years, been consumed by our utility department for, you know, their needs in the growing city. And we built a south side fire station over in the Lakewood area, which kind of, then we could kind of not have use for that anymore. The project that we have currently underway, we've been working on, I think, for 4 years now, trying to get the right design and the right, what makes sense to do that.
I recall when we first started recording the City Current programs, we that was one of the topics that we talked about a couple of years ago.
We've been looking at that, and you know, we've kind of kicked the can around on, I think, every different option, from even looking and buying land away from where we are now, but it amounts to, okay, we need probably 10 to 15 acres to plan for the future, and there's just not an available chunk that's within our price range to acquire. This location has worked well for many years. It's reasonably, you know, as Commissioner Rohr stated last night, we're elongated. We are a east to west community, and along I-94 corridor, and which makes it difficult to really centrally locate something. Where we're at now works well from a transportation standpoint. And last night we took a look at some budget increases for numbers and funding from our sales tax fund to, you know, we had originally planned for a 18,000 square foot storage, kind of cold storage, minimally heated, things like that. That really isn't making sense. And so now we're going to attach that building along with an administrative wing and do some refurbishing on our existing, what we call Big Blue.
So the plans that were in place were a bit bare bones.
Yep.
Not thinking about the need for a generator,
there's things for
a parking, paved parking, those kinds of things.
When we take and go from a cold, kind of a cold or minimally heated storage building to a, we'll make it, you know, it's a functional shop facility.
Sure.
You're going to need an emergency generator, you need a air handling system, you're going to need fire suppression system, and things like that all add up. So the budget amendment last night was for an additional $1.5 million, and in turn, I think the parking area we want to get paved, that's about 1.3. We will do that through a special assessment to the city's property there to help pay for that. And in turn, the other $3 million comes from our Hub City Fund, which we've had in place for several years. $1.5 million will come from our sales tax fund to account for the $4.5 million of building, and then another 1.5 for paving.
But it seems like these improvements are long overdue.
They are long overdue.
I've been working with the building at least since 1974. No improvements were actually made during those
probably
times.
Probably in the 50s that building was put up. And like I said, it's time. Yeah. And our city, you know, even since the year 2000, we were a city of 16,000 people. We're now 22, almost 23,000 people. Mm-hmm. Considerable growth means more equipment. Means more people, and we need to update.
We have a picture too, if we could pop in. Thank you, Lloyd, of the proposed exterior of the building. So it looks very attractive. And I think the other thing is that, you know, I'm aware that you've got people that are pretty crowded in the existing building.
Right.
This is going to make much more pleasant working conditions for the people that work for the city.
Yep, and we will be combining our right now our utility maintenance, which handle the water and sewer lines, are in one building, and our street crew is in another building. This brings everyone together under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, as Mitch Bitz, our public works director, stated last night, we're not only doing streetlights, we're doing landfill, we're doing the
forestry,
cemetery.
Yeah. There's a lot of
water line, sewer line.
You know,
these are the folks that go out and put the banners up over the 4th of July and take them down. And they're also, you know, doing the Christmas decorations. And so there's a lot of activity that comes out of this facility.
Well, and I would think that really, storage of for equipment and especially vehicles and whatnot now in a better storage, it's hopefully lengthens the life of those,
right.
Makes it more efficient in the long run. So again, long overdue.
Yeah, our employees will have, you know, a break room. They'll have a training room. They'll have, you know, right now our administrative staff, from our public works director to our assistant street superintendent and our administrative staff, are all in one room.
Mm-hmm.
A couple dividers in there, but they are jam-packed in there. And this will make a quality working environment for
which
them.
Which should serve the city for many, many years. So this would be moving into the future. And again, that's the hub funds, back to the hub funds. That's the proposal.
Hub city money, which
it was supposed to be used.
Thankful for the legislature approving that, I think in 2015, 2017. I'm losing track of my years a while. But we do have those funds still remaining, and we will use those towards this facility.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, we'll probably talk about it again as it moves forward, so that'll be exciting.
Do you expect that'll
happen? Is there any
like
delay
get,
on this, or is it going
like
to move
We'd like to get
forward?
Some concrete on the ground before freeze up, and then they can erect. We've purchased the building.
Mm-hmm.
It is at our public works facility right now.
Oh, okay.
And so it's just a matter of getting the footings and everything else poured.
So this might move pretty quickly.
Start moving on building. Yes.
Nice.
So we hope to, if we're talking about this in a year from now, I hope we've had a ribbon cutting about 3 or 4 months in the summer. So
sounds good.
We look forward to this.
All right. We'll bring you the photos when you're done. So under resolutions and ordinances, this kind of went along with the budget. Basically, there were motions made to establish rates for 2020 next year that go along already with the budget that's been approved, and it was water and sewer, solid waste.
Water, sewer, solid waste, our billing inspections, and we don't like to wait 5 years before we have to bump up a fee or an adjustment like that. We try and do them incrementally so the hurt isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the new things at the cemetery will be people have been asking for a scatter garden for
ashes.
Cremated ashes and things like that. So we do have a fee because there is some book work and there is some tracking that has to be done to make sure those are accounted for.
Absolutely.
And like I said, that was, other than that, the changes we indicated earlier, a little bit of increase on your water and sewer bill to account for a new water intake.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah. So jumping off your agenda, that was the gist of the action last night. You got a big event coming up on September 28th. We won't be back together until this is over. So it's Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. Yeah. Easy for you to say. Oktoberfest on September 28th. You can
Saturday
go to the Mandan Progress Organization's website and find a full schedule of events and things like that.
Assuming there will be beer.
Yes. With we've talked about how do you have a successful event? Well, you have food and beer. And that's what this is all about.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty
and
cool.
Actually, it was on the agenda last night. We had approval for the beer gardens in every event where there's going to be a beer garden. They have to come to the city and say, hey,
absolutely,
there's going to be a beer garden here.
So it's part of their event application, which our police department goes through and gets all of our other. And we work pretty well together, from our police, fire, emergency services, public works all get together, make sure that everyone is in tune to what the event is and how everybody has to work together to make that happen.
And we want to remind people too, the business pitch challenge
yes.
is still taking applications.
Correct.
Until October 1.
Till the end of the month.
So entrepreneurs and interested in establishing business in Mandan, go to thecityofmandan.com and you can find more information or give Jim a call.
I would encourage you to look on our website. I think there is a another event going on next week to kind of in preparation if you want some ideas on
Making
your business plan
related to this business pitch.
So if you find our business development portfolio under our website, you'll find that information out. And and we certainly can't forget about we are doing a free landfill week next week.
Free fall landfill week.
Yes.
cityofmandan.com. I do have that pulled up on my screen too, so you can get a lot of information there. This is a new, we'll call it an event, but a new practice by Public Works at the city landfill. Usually you've done a cleanup week like Bismarck does in the fall. But
Bismarck does a spring cleanup week and a fall cleanup week where you can put your items out on the boulevard that will get picked up.
And you have in Mandan traditionally done it that way.
Traditionally, we've always done the spring cleanup week. We have not done a fall cleanup week.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And again, this is a fall-free landfill week where you can haul those items to the landfill for free if you're a Mandan resident. Not construction debris or tires. You'll still be charged for those. But, you know, we looked at saying, you know, can we, one, afford in staff time and monetarily doing a fall cleanup week, and we've run the numbers and it's about a $30,000 to $40,000 cost to do that. And we said, well, let's try something else because people have been asking for why don't we do something. So this is our response to say, let's try a free fall landfill week. And
I think it should be mentioned you have to be a resident of Mandan and you will be asked to show an ID. So just be prepared for that.
Yep.
Do not be offended to be carded.
No, and like I said, this is a compromise into doing another full pick up everything from the boulevard. I think I have seen some things on the boulevard in my trips around town, but so please don't put it on the boulevard and take it out to landfill.
And again,
and bring your ID.
And cityofmandan.com, you go to the public works area and it will give you a list of what's allowed, the hours, directions to the landfill. There is a $2 charge per car or pickup tire.
Right.
So if you have tires, there is going to be a small charge, but otherwise it looks like it's pretty much wide open.
Pretty much wide open. And again, please, we like to say, put a tarp over your load and keep it covered because if you're going out there, the wind is blowing. Some of your stuff is more than likely blowing into the
ditch.
Don't
leave a trail of garbage on your way to the landfill.
Yes.
That does happen.
But again, we're looking forward to seeing how well this works, and we hope that residents do take advantage of it.
So we could assume this is somewhat of a pilot program.
Yes.
Public Works will be evaluating the effectiveness of this.
Correct.
And if it's successful and worked well, they'll probably come back again next year.
Right.
All right.
And we hope the weather is nice for people to take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's true. All next week. So great. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.